Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. And today we're going to be joined by National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, National Midget Hall of Fame, and USAC Hall of Fame driver Tracy Hines. We will also hear from the executive director of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, Bob Baker, promoter at Fairmont Raceway, Zach Gerhardt, and a little more about our local Napa Auto Parts stores right after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you ready to take your flavor game to the next level? Reach for the award-winning sauces and seasonings from Cookies. Our flavor-enhanced all-purpose seasoning and rub is a popular combination of spices that's delicious in marinades, on meats, and anything that needs a flavor kick. And don't forget about our full line of sauce, including our Korean barbecue sauce. It's the one that puts an Asian twist on some of our favorites like chicken wings, pork, seafood, and more. Get game-changing recipes at CookiesBBQ.com, and remember, smart cookies use Cookies.
Never know how!
Let's cut to the chase. Get 10% off Napa Auto Parts lawn and garden batteries all month. Already competitively priced, now with an extra 10% off so you can get back to the cutting, which never seems to stop in spring. With advanced protective deep pocket envelope separators, Napa lawn and garden batteries deliver dependable starting power so you can mow and go with confidence, and when it's time to store it for the winter, it'll be ready to fire up next season. Just like those dandelions. Offers valid at participating stores through April 30th. Restrictions may apply. See store for details.
When it comes to choosing your next industrial, commercial, residential, and ag electrician, choose Coles Electric. Hi, this is Steve Cole. Coles Electric offers pole setting, directional boring, underground trenching, boom truck service. We also update your lighting to new energy-efficient LEDs for years of reliability and service. Planning, design, or 24-hour service, see ColesElectric.com or call 507-451-1387.
At Powerlift Doors, we understand the unique challenges of Minnesota farming. Hi, this is Callie at Powerlift Doors by French Manufacturing. That is why we've engineered the ultimate door solution for your large equipment. Our hydraulic doors open effortlessly with a push of a button, giving you more than just access. They give you a peace of mind. See powerliftdoors.com or call 507-374-9306.
Let me tell you, friends, about our stores, a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor, your Total Source Husqvarna dealer in Blooming Prairie, has everything your yard needs. From chainsaws, leaf blowers, and weed trimmers to zero-turn mowers and everything in between. That's what being your Husqvarna Total Source dealer is all about. Stop in today to see the best selection in quality Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. That's Miners Outdoor, Highway 218, Blooming Prairie.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
Since 1997, Weir's Machine has been innovating the finest products in the racing industry. We also manufacture the Ultra Force Load Machines and develop the Ultra Force Suspension Software, which allows you to take your program to the next level. Be sure to check out the all-new Circle Track app, your ultimate go-to spot for race team information. Keep track of your maintenance schedule, parts list, car setups, and more. Proudly made in the USA, champions across the country choose Weir's Machine, Ultra Force, and the Circle Track app to take them to victory lane. Shop now at weirsmachine.com, ultraforcetech.com, and the all-new circletrackapp.com. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at Weir's Machine.
Welcome back to the driver segment here on the Dirt Show, and I am pretty fired up to kick off season 19 today. One of my favorite drivers of all time, and if you saw him wheel a Silver Crown car, a sprint car, or a midget, he would be one of the top on your list too, Tracy Hines. And Tracy, you grew up in a racing family. Your father Jim and Uncle Francis both raced. Your dad was the CORA Midget Champion 5 times, 1966, 67, 68, 73, and 84. What are your earliest memories of racing or growing up around race cars?
As you said, I pretty much was born into it. My parents either always had, had a speed shop back in the day when late models were actually late models. So I was born in 72, but with a great memory, I can remember as early as the mid-70s, and my dad would have a late model, but it was actually in 1976, it would have been a 1975 Chevelle that they buy brand new and got it. So I grew up in the days of just real race cars, and they put me in a quarter midget when I was 4.5 years old, and said, hey, we're going to try them out. You know, novice training, they called it. Throttle stuck. I rode the thing around Big Z on the wall sideways, never crashed it, rode the thing out. They finally caught up to me, flipped the switch, and they're like, okay, I think we got a racer now.
Your brother Ted, who was actually 10 years older than you, started racing before you did, but at that time, you really preferred basketball, football, wrestling, and karate opposed to racing.
Yeah, so kind of my dad was in and out of racing midgets at the time when I kind of moved up through quarter midgets, and my brother being so far apart, basically quarter midgets are 5 years old to 16, so he's done, and then it's time for me to start. And at the first part of my quarter midget career, my dad wasn't racing as much, so he kind of handled me, took care of me. And then it got to where he built a new car in the early 80s, wanted to run a midget more, so it wasn't as much time for me. So then I started getting handlers. Eric Gordon's dad, Faye Gordon, took care of me for a while. Paul Brechtel got out of Northern Indiana, kind of where Ryan Newman and I became friends. He was up that way, Mishawaka area. So, you know, had a good experience, loved racing, but at the same time, I was also racing BMX bikes, and then through the winter, I was a wrestler. So in Indiana, we wrestle AAU, and then once you get to seventh grade, you could wrestle in school, which was called folk-style wrestling, but you'd wrestle AAU in freestyle. So anyways, I did that from fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, all the way to my 10th grade year, and I broke my neck in a motorcycle accident. So kind of stopped that, and kind of the next couple years, chased girls and, you know, did what kids do, and my brother won the Hoosier Dome, very big race. And as he won it, I'm obviously cheering for him, everything excited. But it kind of dawned on me, I'm like, you know what? I think I can do this. And I was jealous of his success, not jealous and envy, because I love my brother and I was happy for his success. But I'm like, I think I can do the same thing. And that's kind of where I started getting back into midgets and started my career from there.
Being an athlete and in great physical condition, you mentioned BMX, and you actually finished fourth in the World Nationals in the BMX race in Indianapolis.
Yeah, so BMX racing was kind of, my cousins did it with me. I'm from my hometown, so I have a cousin that's only 3 months apart from me. So we kind of all raced together, and that was something that, you know, you could kind of do while doing other things. You could also race BMX bikes, so I started with I think they bought the bike from Ames, which was like Murphy USA, and then before, you know, it became Walmart. So we're going back pre-Walmart days. Of course, they, you know, I take it out, 11 years old, break the frame. My dad welds it up, and then we did pretty good with that. So my dad bought me another frame. We kind of built it. And yeah, long story short, so we did that for quite a few years, and they had what they call the JAG World Championship. So it was literally a world race. And then you had different divisions. So there's always divisions, age groups, beginner, novice, expert. And I think I was at that time an 11-year-old novice. So I wasn't quite an expert, but it's past a beginner. And made the race, made the A main, and ended up finishing fourth in A main. And they didn't have it every year in the United States, because being a true world national race, like it was everywhere. So that 1 year it happened to come to Indy, and I was able to run in it, which was a great experience.
One thing you saw at a very young age was two very hardworking parents. Is that what drove you to be successful in whatever you choose to do?
I would say that's part of it. My brother, my dad, my mom especially, always been hard workers, always kind of been well-rounded. My dad, he could weld, he could build engines. My brother's super intelligent. My mom was always a good office lady, good with teaching me things with books and numbers. And I kind of took that and then I stepped it up. People say maybe I'm a little too intense at times, because I kind of have a killer instinct on everything I do. So it's kind of what's driven me my whole life. We didn't come from much. We didn't have a big house, had a 1,000-square-foot house. My brother and I were in bunk beds till he was 19 and a half and I was 9 and a half. So it wasn't like we came from a lot of money. It's just we did things as a family. We raced together, and I just kind of took it from that level, then just stepped up the intensity every time I did something, wanted to be the best.
Going back to the quarter midgets, a name many listeners will remember, Jimmy Vassar. Your dad purchased your first quarter midget from him. And what lessons did you take away from running quarter midgets for all those years?
Yeah, so that was actually my first midget. They bought it at a Grands in Michigan. It was Jimmy Vassar, so they sold it. He was done. So it was my first car. My dad didn't have the money, so he had to ask my uncle to bring the money up. So they brought the cash, bought the car. And for me, it was just learning camaraderie, learning to race with people, learning you could be enemies and friends at the same time. You know, the story is my brother's job with the racetrack was to keep me from getting in fights when I was 6, 7 years old, because I guess I was a handful. So that was his job, was to try to contain me. And then, yeah, a lot of it too, even though we didn't have a lot of money, again, my dad's intelligence with the motor. So my dad for a while was the national tech man for all QMA. So obviously we had some of the best engines, because what he didn't know how to build himself or didn't see, or as he tore people's apart, he always knew what everybody had. We never cheated, but, you know, he always built me the best stuff for what we had. Didn't always have the nicest cars, but we made it work and won a lot of races and met a lot of people over the years. Stevie Reeves and I are still friends, still talk on weekends when we're at the NASCAR races together. So just lifelong friends.
You mentioned you were a handful, which I think is an understatement, because I didn't know when you hurt your neck and had it fused at 15 years old, I would assume your doctor probably recommended racing is not something you want to do.
Yeah, so that's a funny story. So my childhood doctor, until he retired, I was probably in my early 20s when he retired, was best friends with my dad. So obviously, his name is Dr. Kane. So Dr. Kane said, okay, you're done. No contact sports the rest of your life. So that was at 15 and a half when I broke my neck and had to wear a neck brace for 6 months. They fused it together. You know, got to remember back then, they bolted things, but not like they do modern day. So it took longer to recover. So 16 rolls by, and then again 17, you know, chasing the girls. And then at 17, I'm like, I want to do some contact sports. So I call the doctor and I'm like, hey, I got to do something. I can't just sit around. This is driving me insane. I can't wrestle no more. He's like, what do you want to do? I said, well, I want to do karate. He's like, what? I said, yep, I want to do karate. So he's like, no, you can't. Well, needless to say, I did karate for the next year. I got back into BMX racing. So I did all that when I was 17. And yeah, kind of decided then nothing's going to hold me back. I figure it's my life. I'm going to live it.
In 1992, you started your racing career in one of your dad's old midgets and won Rookie of the Year at Indianapolis Speed Dome. Memories of that first season in that midget?
Yeah, so I didn't run the whole year in it. So I started off the season in it. And that's kind of, as I was telling the story, how I started. I went to my dad after my brother in the Hoosier Dome. I went to my dad the next year and I said, okay, I have an idea. See what you think. So the idea was, my dad didn't like working on the cars as much as he used to, getting a little older. So I said, okay, me and my friends will work on the car. We'll do all the work unless we don't know how. You teach us. I can't pay for anything, but if you let me race it, you keep all the winnings, we'll do all the work. So that's kind of how it started out. I started running his car, doing a pretty good job, trying to get our experience. And then some situations happened with Terry Goff, actually. So I ended up getting in Ted Slinkard's car and finished the year out in Ted Slinkard's car. So basically, I drove my dad's car like seven or eight races, and that was it. Got in somebody else's car, and pretty much from there on out, drove for somebody else until started my own team in the late 2010 area.
In 1993, you formed your own race team by networking with people. And like you said in your own words, you had the gift to gab and literally put together a race team just talking to people on the phone.
Yeah, so that's how it started. So it wasn't necessarily my race team. So it was Corky Wheeler. So Wheeler Hines Racing, but it was Corky Wheeler who got it going. So Corky Wheeler was a gentleman out of Beaumont, Texas, that kind of dabbled a little bit his own self, tried to drive. Wasn't great, kind of had micros, then wanted to get a midget. Had a really nice midget, though. Just wasn't very fast in it, but really nice midget. Just on pavement, a few races. So at the time in the speed room, Tony Stewart and I became friends, and Tony kind of jumped up quick in his career, and he had got a chance to drive this car. I think he drove it at IRP. So I knew that was a connection, so I got with Tony. And I said, can you figure out how to introduce me to Corky? Because he wasn't driving that car no more. He just drove it one time. So he said, yeah, it's actually the car stays over at Steve and Rosemary Stapp's, their shop in Brownsburg. I said, okay. So he introduces me to Staps. So I go over there, and Staps, you know, they're just the nicest people. So we have dinner and all that. So they introduce me to Corky when he comes in. And it was really that connection that kind of got it going. And then with that introduction, then I started going around trying to get local sponsors. I figured out I could pay the tire bill. I could get somebody with oil. So at the time, Valvoline had a station that they basically had people working at the Speedway. So I worked a deal with a friend of mine that just bought an older Chevrolet dealership, Portland, Indiana. So I said, hey, Steve, what are you doing for oil? Well, I don't know. They used to have Pennzoil. I said, well, if I can get you oil cheaper, would you buy Valvoline for your dealership? He goes, sure, you know, no harm. So with that, then that landed me sponsorship of oil and fuel for the rest of the year. So I just kind of pieced it together. Corky paid the major bills and the stuff. My dad's Suburban, Corky's trailer, and I just started piecing it all together as we started racing.
Over the years, you had some serious wrecks. The one at Richmond in 96 actually caused your sponsor to walk away from racing. I think he thought he had just watched you die.
Yeah, basically, Corky and I were kind of getting probably to both of our financial limits, for lack of better terms. And we had just got a newer engine to us. It was a Brayton engine that Mr. Wright built for us in Michigan. Really nice engine, lots of power. And we backed the car in the wall, hurt the engine, kind of burnt to the ground. And we really didn't know what to do. And we both kind of decided that year, gathered a bunch of sponsorship, trying everything we could to make our stuff better. And basically, we couldn't finish out. We couldn't rebuild. We were basically done. And then that's when I had ran some races, some Neymar style races for Leary's kind of earlier in that winter time, won a race in Volusia, kind of non-USAC stuff, became friends with Leary's. And that's when I asked them, can I get in one of your cars? And kind of the same deal. I'll help work on them. I'll help work on Chuck's. You know, my thing was I didn't have money, but I had mechanical skills. So everything I ever did was, hey, I'll work on it for free. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll work on your kid's car, your car. I don't care. I just want an opportunity. And that's what happens. They put me in their car. We go to Winchester and win the race. Pass Doug Coletta, win my first USAC race. Then it took off from there.
Another great story. You made the call to Richard Hoffman and landed a ride in the famous number 69. How did that opportunity come about?
Well, opportunity out of necessity. So that was probably a sadder story. So as I was kind of coming up, getting my sprint car career going through lots of ups and downs, winning a lot on the big tracks, kind of trying to get poised to win a national title in the sprint car, I was driving for a guy, Bob Gratton, out of Florida. And how that kind of worked was Boyce Holt. I drove for Boyce Holt, and poor Boyce, he had to put up with me crashing the dirt sprint car lot. As early in my career, I crashed a lot. Like, throttle wasn't my problem. Lifting was. So I destroyed a lot of race cars. And poor Boyce, he was like, I can't go anymore. There's kind of the same deal. We ran each other out of money in better terms. So with that, I got the booze, kind of booze out of Brazil, Indiana. They helped me kind of get a car. I got an engine from Chuck Schneider, leased an engine. Jim McQueen kind of helped me. So we put this car together. We go to Winchester, and we win the race. Well, David Steele had just got his ride with Felix Abadis to go, at the time, Busch Series Racing. So I knew David's ride was open with Bob Gratton. So I win this race, and I go over to David. I'm like, hey, can I talk to the owner? So I talked to him, and I'm saying, you know, I'm interested. Can I get a ride? You know, and just kind of, and David, I remember it like it was yesterday. He looked at me and says, you might as well hire him. He just beat us in that piece. Now, this car wasn't a piece. It was a nice car, but it was just different than everybody else's. It was an older converted Stealth that we put sway bars on. Like, Jim McQueen and I, like, really tricked this thing out, but it didn't look like everybody else's. It wasn't a store-bought beast, per se. So it was a nice car. It just didn't look it. And that's what got me the ride. So with that, we went out and won in 2 years. I won 44% of my races in that car. We won a lot of races in it. But the last race that we ran in it was South Boston, Virginia. So David had left the Busch ride. He came back. We were running as teammates that second year. And very competitive. So David and I, we fought like great competitors would. And we had a tangle. And he got the raw end of the tangle. He got spun out. I ended up winning the race. I got fired after the race because David was closer to Bob Gratton. So on the ride home, obviously we're scrambling, still trying to finish out the year. I think we were second in points or something, still trying to finish it out. So I called Richard Hoffman, and I'm like, Richard, Tracy Hines here, and I just got fired. He said, you just won. I said, yeah, it's a long story. I said, do you have anything available? And Salem was coming up. And he said, well, Brian Tyler's supposed to drive it, but let me see. Let me talk to everybody. So he calls me back, and he said, yep, we're going to run you and try you. So we went down there, and we set fast time and ran second in the race. And then that was 2001, and then the next year, 2002, won the championship. And then I basically drove for them until I went to NASCAR in 2004, 2005, 2006.
A night I will never forget, Cedar Lake Speedway hosted indoor races at the Sandbox during the winter, and you were there in your midget. I got to stand between you and Dave Darlin during the drivers' meeting down in the pit area, and that was an incredible experience. The only thing that night, the air quality was not good in that building.
Yeah. So that would have been a Power Eye show. So I have some friends, Roger and Lara Miller, and they have the 75 midget that myself and Jerry Coons would run every now and then. So that was actually their car. So we went up there to run that car. And yeah, I think it was a two-night show. The first night, we didn't run that well, 6th, 7th. And I started measuring the car, and I'm like, we need to raise the motor in it. And they all looked at me like, what? I'm like, yeah, your motor's too low. We need to raise it. And Roger, who builds the car, you know, it's his own chassis, he looked at me like, are you serious? And I said, yes, sir, I'm serious. He goes, how high? I said, as high as the power steering pump will let us. So Roger stayed there. He re-drilled the motor plates, redid it all, and we went out that next night and ran second. So it definitely paid off all that work, but that was just kind of a piece of how I would convince my teams, or just through all of our knowledge, you never stop. You just always keep digging, try to figure out how to go fast.
I also had the opportunity to talk with you and your team prior to the inaugural Silver Crown USAC Sprint Car race at the Iowa Speedway. You were running for Johnny Vance that day, and that day ended with one big fiery engine explosion. Those races were tough on engines.
Yeah, those big tracks were definitely hard on engines, and yeah, a lot of the Silver Crown times on those big tracks, you either have clutch problems or if you had engine problems, and probably not one of our best showings for sure.
A lot of fans that have not seen a Silver Crown race, like one of the 100 lappers at DeCoyne or Springfield, those are really chess matches, three races in one. Patience at the beginning with a full load of fuel, then conservative in the middle to save your equipment until the end, and then to decide the right time to go and really push it to the finish. It's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, and that's a good way to describe it, a chess match. Because you're trying to save your tire, you're trying to not, and fuel mileage is always close too, even though we have those big tanks. If they ever have part of the race that's on the cushion, you're very close on fuel too. So you got a whole lot of things going on there that you're trying to make happen over 100 laps.
At 16th Street Speedway in Indianapolis, Indiana, you raced with a friend of mine, Johnny Parsons III. Thoughts on that baseball field turned into a racetrack?
Well, it was a neat track, neat experience. When they ran national shows there, they were packed. Weekly shows, they got a lot of cars all the time. My brother ran there at the weekly shows. Johnny III ran their weekly shows, and then, of course, some USAC stuff. And yeah, it was a cool place. I think I drove for 3 or 4 different owners in that time period. So I got a lot of different versions of how to get around the track with the different cars. And I don't know if I ever won. I think I ran second. I know, like, during the summer, they called it summer something, maybe summer sizzle or something. I ran second that, which was a really big show there.
To be successful in USAC, you have to be good on both dirt and pavement. How do you reel in your emotions to sling it into the turns like you do on dirt and keep the car in the groove?
I don't know. I think you just, for me, it's just always been with the seat of your pants. It's basically just car control. You're just always trying to push the limit, so it's whatever degree of angle it needs to rotate the corner without spinning out. Then on pavement, how much can you roll the corner, just roll speed. I've always had a theory on anything trying to get grip. So I have a hot rod Mustang that's 700 horsepower. You take people out and you show them that If you're rolling at 20 mile an hour, we can spin the tires. If you're rolling at 40 mile an hour, we can spin the tires. But if you're rolling at 60, it's harder to spin the tires. So the faster you can go through a corner, the more grip you're going to have on exit. So all your speed is usually through the center of a corner. So just kind of how I've always approached racing, just build momentum, speed, and control. And as we all do, as I got older a little bit, I probably didn't like the cushion as much as I did when I was younger and didn't care and spent a lot of time in the hospital, so that wasn't fun. So you think about it more as you get older.
Tracy, as a big fan of yours, I was really looking forward to 2007 when you teamed up with your friend Tony Stewart to drive his sprint car. That looked like it was going to be a match made in heaven until you just about ripped your left leg off on a dirt bike.
Yeah, left and right. Yeah, so there was a lot of things to that year that was really, really great. Kind of back it up a little bit. So 2006, I moved down south, was running for Fitz Bradshaw, Mondo Fitz, Terry Bradshaw, and had a 18 race contract. We were kind of into 11 races of it, and they were getting really low on money, and I was like, man, this is just not fun. So we were still running our open wheel cars at the time. 2006, I won the Four Crown Nationals in the midget, and then I won in the sprint car. So I won for Wilkie's in the midget, and then Hoffman's in the sprint car. And Tony was handing out the big checks, and I just whispered to him as he handed me a check, "You have any openings? I want to come back home." And he goes, "Yep. Yeah, I think Josh Wise had a Busch deal going or something." And he said, "Yep, you can take Josh's spot." I said, "Okay." And that's literally how it happened. So we kind of planned that winter. We moved back up, kind of got everything organized. And that's when the Gold Crown Series was happening. And A.J. Foyt had a car. Actually, A.J. had two cars. George Schneider was a mechanic. And Pedro Donoso, I think was his name, was in the other car. And then A.J. hired me to drive one. So we went out there, worked on that car, kind of looked over the stuff, gave some ideas. Went to Homestead the first race in April. I won the race. First time in a Gold Crown car. So we win the race. Come home there afterwards, and me and my friends, so Ricky Urquhart, who was a midget racer, and Tom Hessert, who was a midget sprint, and then also ran ARCA, and then my wife, we were all riding at my property in Indiana, and that's when I had the motorcycle accident. Had to get life flight out of my property, and yeah, kind of set me out for the rest of that year until I think October we were finally ready to come back and just finish out the last couple races.
Tracy, you are a triple Hall of Famer. USAC Hall of Fame, National Midget Hall of Fame, and National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. That really validates what you have done in your career.
Yeah, I guess words can't really say anything more than that, right? I think for me, probably the biggest piece of that is not so much what I've done, but I didn't really spend my career trying to be everybody's friend. I probably wasn't the best person for media because, let's face it, when I got to the racetrack, I thought about one thing, and that was winning the race. I didn't care about anything else. Rich Volker was my hero growing up. That's the way Rich was. Rich was dedicated to one thing, winning races. So for me, I kind of thought, well, maybe I'll be in a little trouble when it comes to Hall of Fames because obviously it's the reporters, it's the people at the sanctioning bodies, you know, it's the different people voting on that stuff. And for me to get in, especially like the sprint car, you know, you had to be 50. So for me to get in, basically the first chance I got, I'm just so thankful for all the people that voted me in and saw what I tried to do as hard as I could just to be the best racer that was out there.
And Tracy, you continue to be involved with your kids. And what are you doing right now?
So right now, I'm currently on my going on my 11th year at Thor Sport Racing, which is a NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series team. We're fielding four teams this year. And since I came to the organization at the end of 2015, we've won the championship four times in that 10 years. So I'm very proud of our organization. So I'm competition director at the race shop. And then in 2017, I actually took over as director of operations for the whole company, which is ThorWorks Industries. ThorWorks is a global company. We have subsidiaries that is SealMaster, which is our franchise system. So it's all about seal coating. Basically, anything that goes on asphalt and some concrete, from crack filling to sealer to paint to the equipment that makes it, the equipment that puts it down, we do all that at ThorWorks Industries. And yeah, so I've been director of operations for that. The owner, Duke Thorson, has a 10-block complex, and I just drive from building to building, start the morning off race shop, go back to the main office, and then come back to the race shop at the end of the day. So pretty busy. Travel to all 25 races that the trucks go to. And my kids are in sports. Neither of them wanted to go into racing, so my kids just do sports. My wife's been my rock, been my side through the whole career. And, yeah, we're just, trying to live the life and do the best we can.
Tracy, thanks for kicking off the 19th season of the Dirt Show, and I hope you will consider coming back down to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum when they do the induction banquet again so everybody can hang out and see you. And thanks for being with us here on the show today.
Well, I appreciate it, and I hope the fans at least saw a little different side of me that they probably didn't know about.
Now is the perfect time to schedule that spring chemical application, lawn aeration, or landscape project. Book your annual chemical and fertilizer applications for the entire season and get a discount today. Wolf & Sons Yard Service also provides spring yard waste cleanup to get those branches and leaves off your grass for a beautiful lawn this season. Contact Wolf & Sons today at 455-3524. That's Wolf & Sons, 455-3524.
Foamcraft Packaging is a small family-owned company and has been in business since 1988. Hi, I'm Donna Ayers, and I own Foamcraft along with my husband, Bob. We specialize in quality, affordable custom foam and wood packaging. Let our professional staff of designers, engineers, and manufacturers create a packaging solution that fits your needs and budget. Located at 400 Alexander Drive in Owatonna, Minnesota. Give us a call at 507-455-2893. Look us up at foamcraftpackaging.com.
New for the 2026 season at the Fairmont Raceway, all youth in attendance will get a chance to register to win a four-wheeler that will be given away the final night of the season. How cool is that? So make sure you grab the kids, the wife, grandpa, and grandma, and head on over to the Fairmont Raceway starting Friday, May 1st. It's sure to be an action-packed season. Grandstands open at 5:30. Hot laps start at 7:15. We hope to see all of you at the Fairmont Raceway.
Arrow Race Wheels is a leading manufacturer of high-quality steel racing wheels for both dirt and asphalt racing. Arrow Racing Wheels are built right here at our headquarters in Estherville, Iowa. This U.S. company's premium race wheels have been designed to put drivers on the top of the podiums for over 30 years. You can't get any more American than that. See arrowracewheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
Midwest Collision.
If you have a vehicle accident, go with the pros. Midwest Collision in Faribault. Bob and his staff of experienced painters and body men have over 40 years of experience. Midwest Collision's paint matching capabilities and perfectly aligned body panels will make you forget an accident even happened. Call 507-332-2434. You bend them, we mend them.
Midwest Collision. You bend them, we mend them.
Here's one of the most incredible lubricating products ever made. Justice Brothers JB80. It's twice as good at lubricating just about everything around the home, shop, and your car. JB80 has a penetrating action that goes straight to the problem areas and even the tightest places. Try JB80, the incredible spray lubricant that's twice as good. And it's guaranteed to satisfy or your money back.
See our display at Runnings.
Tell them Ed Justice Jr. sent you.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show. And you can tell it's springtime when I'm talking to the executive director of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, Bob Baker. And Bob, welcome to the show. And Saturday night, April 18th, is the 73rd annual season opener at Knoxville Raceway. Racing season will be back in full swing, and that means fans will be stopping by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum.
It sure will. Thanks for having us on the show, Clint. It's always great to be on your program anytime. We're very excited about this year's season opener because something is going to happen here that's never happened as far as I can recall, as Knoxville Raceway will have the grandstand open for free admission on opening night this year, Saturday, April 18th. We're encouraging everybody to bring some friends with them to enjoy the races. And of course, our museum will be open all day from 8 in the morning till the races are over Saturday night. So great time to come to Knoxville, go through the museum, get a free night of racing in the grandstand, and enjoy some great sprint car racing.
Bob, I know all throughout the offseason, Bill has been working hard on putting the new floor display together inside the museum.
Yes, it's our track tribute to Knoxville Raceway, and it will officially open on May the 1st, and it will run through October 1st. We're going to be featuring cars that raced at Knoxville Raceway in the past, and a lot of people will be really surprised to see some of the old race cars, the jalopy-type race cars, open-wheel cars that used to race here back in the 50s and 60s, all the way through Ryan Timm's winning car from last year's Knoxville Nationals that still has the confetti on it. So real excited to have Ryan's Knoxville National winning car and some of the really older cars that people aren't familiar with that raced here at Knoxville back in the past. And of course, we'll have the t-shirts, the commemorative t-shirts, with pictures of all the cars and the posters for people to take home with them.
The other thing that you do and do very well is raffles. And right now you have the 63 Corvette split window up for raffle, and all the proceeds go to benefit the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And this is one beautiful car.
It sure is. You have to see this car to believe it. This is a 63 Corvette split window Fuelie with matching numbers. And believe it or not, this car has never been crashed or dented. It is in mint condition. I've had a lot of people come by the museum just to look at this. It's a Sebring Silver Corvette Stingray, and it's got matching numbers. All the engine numbers, part numbers are original and match. It's just a beautiful car. We're real excited to be giving this away on Father's Day weekend on Saturday, June the 20th. This year. So it's just a short contest. It's 4 months. It's only 3 months away from now. We'll be doing the drawing here in our museum lobby to give away this 63 Corvette. So we're pretty excited about it.
Another thing I'm excited about is USAC Corn Belt Nationals at the Knoxville Raceway, May 29th and 30th, and also this year's Hall of Fame banquet on May 30th. And Bob, I know tickets are still available.
Yes, we have tickets for the Hall of Fame banquet. It's going to be on Saturday, May 30th, 12 o'clock, right here in Knoxville at Dyer Hudson Hall. The tickets are $35 each, and you can call our museum at 641-842-6176 or just go online to sprintcarhof.com and find our phone number and call and ask for Jody, and she'll be glad to get you set up with some tickets for the banquet. It is a really different banquet from a lot of banquets. That there's induction banquets or end-of-year banquets that we attend each year. Inductees actually get to stand up and talk a little bit, tell their stories, and we've got two of the best MCs in the world with National Sprint Car Hall of Fame inductees, Pat Sullivan and Dave Argabright, who do our MCing and have done it for many, many years, and they just do a tremendous job for us. So anybody that's interested in learning more about racing or coming to the induction banquet, you should attend this, because not only do you get to do the banquet at 12 o'clock, but we got the USAC Sprint Cars racing both Friday and Saturday night here in Knoxville that weekend. Again, that's May 29th and 30th right here in Knoxville, and plenty of tickets are still available if you'd like to come to the banquet.
Bob, if they'd like to find out more about all of the great events you have going on at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, what's the best way to do that?
Well, there's two ways. You can call our museum anytime at the 641-842-6176 number, or you can just go online at SprintCarHOF, that's short for Hall of Fame, SprintCarHOF.com, and find all the news and everything that's upcoming events like the Corvette sweepstakes drawing, the induction banquet, our special exhibit this year, our track tribute to Knoxville Raceway from May the 1st through October 1st, with I think we've got about a dozen race cars that used to race at Knoxville Raceway. And as I mentioned before in the program, people are going to be really surprised to see some of these old jalopy type cars that used to race in Knoxville back in the 50s and 60s. So it's going to be a very educational program. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And don't forget free racing April 18th at Knoxville Raceway. Make time to see the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And Bob, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having us on the program. We hope to see everybody in Knoxville either for the opener, the free grandstand on April 18th, or any Saturday night this summer.
The definition of a race, a competition between two vehicles to see which is the fastest from point A to point B. Do you need it to be the fastest in a quarter mile, hold together with a big shot of nitrous, or last for 30 laps on an oval? If you want the confidence that you have a winning motor under the hood, then call us at Byers Engine Service. We've been building engines for winners for over 50 years. Stop by and see us in Rochester today at 2915 20th Street Southeast, or call us at 507-282-5586. We'll take care of the horsepower.
Anderson Enterprises have changed their name. Velocity's Inland Center is your racer-owned local provider of apparel and promotional products. Velocity's German-engineered 10-color screen printing machine will make your shirts pop. The screen printer can pump out 300 shirts per hour while maintaining meticulous quality. Screen printing, embroidery, signs, decals, wraps, and banners. Contact Velocities at 507-351-9244. Mention this Dirt Show ad and get 10% off your next order.
Shevlin Enterprises, your locally owned and operated sanitation and recycling service, offers commercial, residential, construction, and industrial trash removal and recycling in Owatonna and the surrounding areas in Dodge and Steele counties. Shevlin Enterprises also specializes in roll-offs and dumpsters. 2, 4, and 6-yard dumpsters for those smaller jobs, or 10, 15, 20, and 30-yard dumpsters for those big jobs. Contact Chris and his staff today for small-town service at a small-town price. 528-9900. That's 528-9900.
Terrain changes, season change, but Honda ATVs, they show up ready. The 2026 4Trax Rancher, Foreman, and Rubicon are back, just as reliable as ever. With available four-wheel drive, automatic DCT, and independent rear suspension on select models, there's a Honda built for how you ride. Visit Trimble's Cycle Center in Austin today and count on Honda to get it done. For your safety, read the owner's manual and always wear a helmet and eye protection. Honda ATVs are for riders 16 and older. Trimble's Cycle Center in Austin, USA's second oldest Honda dealer.
Altenburg Construction, backed by over 30 years of experience, is well known for slat replacement. Altenburg Construction now offers the Slat Vision Inspection System to help their customers determine when they should plan for a capital cost. Altenburg Construction also added a new demolition shredder that can take care of any old structures or farm sites, making way for a fresh start. See AltenburgConstruction.com or call 888-435-2210.
Bulldog Coatings. Let Bulldog protect and restore your floors. Transform your old garage floor with a local family-owned Bulldog Pros. Beautiful coatings, longevity, trust the experts. We make it so easy. Affordable solutions, you can't go wrong. See BulldogCoatingsMN.com. Bulldog Coatings. Let Bulldog protect and restore your floors.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Zach Gerhartz from Fairmont Raceway. And Zach, it was great to see you at the Midwest Motorsports Expo, March 14th in Rochester. What a great event.
It is such a great event, such a nice big group of vendors that participate in that. Great to get out and talk to the drivers in a non-racing or racetrack atmosphere and just check out all the new innovation coming to the market for the year.
And it's so exciting to be talking about opening night at Fairmont Raceway, Friday night, May 1st. And what classes can fans expect to see at Fairmont Raceway this season?
Yeah, so the Fairmont Raceway is sanctioned under USRA again in 2026. So we will have the four classes that we sanction with them: hobby stocks, B-mod stock cars, and modifieds. And then the Fairmont 4.6 liter cars. That class debuted last year. That's an unsanctioned class. The Crown Vicks, if you will. That's kind of their nickname, is the Crown Vic class. It's a nice entry-level class and a real affordable class for people to get started in that might have a little itch to get back behind the wheel. Or maybe it's their first time behind the wheel, even.
You can actually get in one of these Crown Vicks and drive it. I heard some talk about that last year. And for $300, you can find out if you want to become a race driver.
We had this idea of we were going to raffle off a race car, and we built one and we raffled it off, but it didn't get as much interest as we thought. But I had collected a couple of these Town and Countries or Continentals or whatever they all are, Crown Vicks, and had them sitting here and then tried to decide, what do we do with this? Maybe if we build one and we let somebody get in behind the wheel, they might get an itch and want to buy that car from us. They might build their own car. And it did exactly that. We got one car ready for the final night last year. It rented instantly. That guy showed up, Cameron Cabe's his name. He brought 8 to 10 people to the pits with him that wouldn't be there regularly. He turned around, bought a car the next week, and is talking about a second car. So it's doing exactly what we hoped it would do. It's bringing in new audiences. It's bringing in people that don't know how to get started or if they're even going to like that. So we think it's a great deal. We've got two cars built to rent every night this year, pending no catastrophe with those cars. And like you said, $300 covers everything the race car needs for the night. We are accumulating the safety gear that you're going to need as well. So we're getting some new helmets and coats and fire suits and shoes or whatever, so that you show up with your $300, you fill out your paperwork, you run your race, and you decide at the end of the night if it's for you, if you want to do it again next week or however you want to do that. The great part, we got guys that have been retired that want to get back in a car. We've got certain rivalries in the modified division that I think are going to goof around for a lap or two with them. So just real good grassroots promotion, finding a way to fill the grandstands and the pits.
And a little bit of trivia, listening to Lon on the microphone, the AMODs that night were turning 19-second laps, and the Crown Vicks were turning 25-second laps. So you are only going 6 seconds slower than a full-blown AMOD, which is amazing on Fairmont.
It is. Got a local group of enthusiasts in the Crown Vicks that have got the gearing figured out. They're getting the right computers and the right setup in them, helping the cars really build some traction. Some might argue that a hobby stock is easier to drive than the Crown Vic. They only have a 40% rear seat, so getting your ballast, getting your percentages where you want it to be able to hook up and drive it around is going to be a little bit of a trick. But the cars are readily available and should be a lot of years of an economical starting class, if you will.
And I always look down your schedule and see that you have one night for the hobby stocks on May 15th, one night for the Crown Vicks on May 29th. You also have the stock car shootout coming up with the Ironman stock cars and the USMTS return on July 31st. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we're doing all we can to keep the regional and national series coming to town. It does require a lot of purse. It does require some big sponsorships with it. Something new for the USMTS show this year. Buy your general admission ticket for $50 and get a chance to win the VIP suite for the USMTS night. And the second prize, a VIP suite for the Northern Lights modified show in August. So message us on Facebook if you'd like to get your general admission ticket bought. You get a ticket into grandstands regardless and an opportunity to win one of four prizes, with the top two prizes being VIP suites.
We were there for the Northern Lights Modified Series last year, and a couple weeks later, I bumped into Brandon Davis, and I said, man, you were entering those corners like I could not believe, and he just got the biggest smile on his face, and he said, I just love Fairmont.
Brandon likes to go fast. He does enjoy coming over and letting Reed on the top side and razzing a couple of the guys. He's really good friends with Lyle Sadoff, and he loves to give Lyle heck for not putting it on the wall and holding it open. If you're in a race car and you haven't experienced the speeds of Fairmont, I assure you, once you get past your nervousness, you'll have a pile of fun with it, and you'll think every other racetrack you race on is boring.
Another event in August is August 21st, Martin County Fair races, and then you end the season with those Ironman B-Mods and the season championship. And I always tell fans, get out to the races and get out early, because in a blink of an eye, we're in August and talking about the end of the season.
It becomes a blur, and it's starting to blur now to the idea of getting equipment ready and getting through it. Before you know it, it's September and we're planning next year. So don't wait. Ignore the weather. Check your racetrack's Facebook page. And if it's not our racetrack, get out to all of your local dirt tracks or your favorite dirt tracks and really support it. We definitely need the support.
Zach, also thank you on the great concession stand, because on a Friday night, people do not have to worry about stopping home to get something to eat. They can just head to the track and enjoy the food there.
So I hear that so often, Clayne. A guy tells me, I don't have to take my wife out for supper tomorrow because she enjoyed the meal at the racetrack. You know, I'm killing two birds with one stone. I got my wife to go to the races with me. She loved her beverage selection from the bar and concession stand, and she really liked the duck wontons or the mini donuts or whatever. And it's a full experience and a full atmosphere for everybody involved.
Zach, if they'd like to find out more about Fairmont Raceway, follow you on Facebook, what's the best way to get information on this season?
We try to keep the website up to date as much as possible. There's always something there that's missing. The schedule is live and has been live, fmtraceway.com, to keep up on the news and find the entire schedule. Head to Facebook at Fairmont Raceway. We use Facebook every day. Probably do some driver interviews to post there, as some Facebook reels and different things like that. So you can really get to know the teams this year is the intent. And as always, get the My Race Pass app on your phone. It's free to use. There are paid services you can put on there for more engagement, push notification for the racetrack. So if there's a cancellation or a change in the schedule, it'll come right to your phone. Again, the My Race Pass app keeps you up to date with all local dirt track racing.
Zach, thanks for being with us here on the Dirt Show. Can't wait to see you out at the racetrack.
Thanks, Clayton.
BP Racing Fuels is proud to be recognized as a world leader in race fuel technology. BP's fuels have a well-deserved reputation for power and consistency, winning championships in every form of motorsports for more than 40 years. Whether sportsman or pro, methanol or gasoline, BP has a fuel to ensure optimum performance for your application. See the full line of BP's high-performance products online at vpracingfuels.com. At VP Racing Fuels, our passion is your performance.
Ever dreamed of a replica of your race car? VT's 3D Prints are a local business designing and printing custom 3D mini replicas of race cars. This is a unique way for racers and race enthusiasts to showcase their favorite race cars. VT's 3D Prints also creates championship trophies and custom cars for banquets and special occasions. See VT's 3D Prints on Facebook or call Dylan at 605-261-0197 for a gift that they will never forget.
At Zach Sales and Service, we're proud to offer the CM truck bed lineup. So if that old reliable pickup of yours is in need of a different box, look no further than Zach Sales and Service. With over 100 beds in stock, we're bound to have what you need. Our schedule is open to get installation done within 10 days. So if that farm truck, contractor truck, or just your beat-around truck is in need of a truck bed, give us a call today and schedule your installation. Beds in stock start off at $4,000. Remember, at Zach's, we service everything we sell.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Steve from the Napa Star Group Auto Part Stores. And Steve, we know within the next 7 to 10 days, the farmers are going to be hitting the fields. And I know one thing you do well is make sure that your stores are stocked up with hydraulic hoses, connectors, hydraulic fluids, filters, anything that you know the farmers in your area are going to need, you have it ready to go for them.
You're right. We do. We do a lot of hydraulic hoses, a lot of filters and batteries and belts, all the things you need to get that planting done and get going for the season.
And I know no matter how well you wrap your boat when you tuck it away or clean up your camper and cover it before you tuck it away, in the spring you want to get it all cleaned up for the season. And walking through the aisles of my local Napa store, you have all kinds of products for cleaning carpet, for waxing boats.
Yep, you're right, Glenn. We do have all the cleaners and the waxes and the window wash and the getting smudges off and brightening up the paint finish. We've got all those cleaners and polishes on hand, and then all the sponges and the washcloths and the microfiber towels, all that kind of stuff that you want to get a great-looking job. We've got that stuff.
I know people often put off repairs such as a needed brake job until the weather warms up, and now with this nicer weather, those backyard mechanics are going to be out and going, and Napa is the first place you need to stop.
You're right. You're right. We've got the parts you need to get that job done right the first time. We'll even offer up expertise, whatever we can, and making sure you get enough of the right parts to go to do the job. Don't want you to have to come back and not have to take the extra time to come back and get something when you should have got it the first time. We'll be asking you those related type things so you can get the job done right.
And everybody's life is really super busy. The convenience of being able to pick out that part, if you're out in a field farming and you need something, you can literally order it online, send one of your farmhands into the store, and they'll have it waiting to pick up.
Yes, you can do that, and you can actually see, you know, what the part looks like. You can verify that this is the right thing, this is what I want. Order it, we'll get it for you, and then have it ready to pick up.
Steve, you've been in the parts business for over 50 years. Thanks for all you do for the customers out there. There is a wealth of knowledge at these Napa stores, so if you have any questions, ask the guys behind the counter.
You're right. We do have a lot of expertise with the guys that have been with us a long time and those that have worked in the automotive industry and do their own stuff on the side, too. They work and putz around and get to know, you know, what the vehicles need and what the jobs need to get done right. So, yes. They can offer you good advice.
In 2009, the Outlaw Mini Mod Racing Series was organized by Batwing Chassis founder Nathan Kilwine. Today, you can find the Outlaw Mini Mod class running at local tracks like Chateau Speedway, Mason City Motor Speedway, and Worthington Speedway, along with many other tracks around southern Minnesota, North Iowa, and Wisconsin. Join the fun by becoming a driver in the most affordable class of dirt track racing in the country. Fans can follow the exciting 18-race Black Iron Manufacturing Outlaw Mini Mod Series Point Championship schedule by going to batwingchassis.com.
Batwing.com. Batwing Chassis, fast, affordable fun for everyone.
Why choose powder coating over liquid paint finishes? Maximum durability. Extreme powder coating offers a scientific process that uses electricity and heat to bake the colorful finish deep into your product. Extreme can deliver media blasting, impact-resistant epoxy primers, and durable powder coat applications to meet your needs. Custom colors and exhaust coatings are available also. Visit ExtremePowderCoating.net for more information.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.